Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tabletop Radio Hour, your podcast for everything tabletop. My name's Zach. This week, we've got the regular crew, Mark, Logan, Zoe. How's everybody doing today?
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than filled with rage, apparently, Zoe.
I'm going to murder everything and everyone.
I would like to make a murder.
I would like to rage, please. Oh, wait, different game.
Different game. Today we're going to be playing some more 7th C in our series of Myth and Legacies. Mark is still running things. Maybe not for long, because maybe we'll find the captain. I don't know.
Or maybe permanently, if you
oh,
know.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, look, you're not allowed to kill him off screen, you bitch. What a cop out.
But, Mark, do you want to give us a small recap of what happened last time?
Sure. Essentially, you guys arrived in Massar, did a little bit of investigating, found out that the port mage who abducted Andreas is here. The Montaigne ship arrived 3 days ago. You encountered him, and he informed you that Andreas was executed 2 days ago at the Temple of Fasat. I think that's the fundamentals of where we are right now. There's a lot going on. In addition to that, be sure to catch up. But for right now, keep your hands and arms inside the vehicles until they come to a full and complete stop.
So never.
Pretty much, yeah. Probably.
You're along for the ride with us, everyone.
That is true. So, as if I remember correctly, you were heading towards the temple. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I think that was the intent.
Full speed, all horses go.
Okay.
Jeez. Oh,
like to wait for it.
Oh no! If you guys don't think you're on the horse, you're funny.
All three of us.
Yep.
Nice.
Do we have one of those like stretch Arabians? It's like a stretch limo, but it's a horse. You know, it's like
it's a sidecar on the horse.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a mini horse off to the side that Briggs gets to ride.
I like it.
Oh my god, it's the scene from Game of Shadows. It's just Briggs on this tiny little horse. Just like, come on, everyone, let's go.
There you go.
Oh, beautiful. But yeah, we're off.
Okay, so yeah, you're going up the winding streets, further up the mountain, to the temple district. There are a lot of temples here. You know, the main one, of course, is the Temple of Amun. Again, it doesn't take too much directions to find the Temple of Fasat. You arrive, and yeah, there it is. Not as big as some of the other temples. It's good size. It's, you know, all these temples are impressive, but it's kind of average compared to some of the other ones. What you doing?
Where's the door?
Yeah, I say door.
What? Door's in the front.
I don't know. I didn't think we'd get this far.
Yeah, big. You know. Doors are right there in front, open. You got a couple of nice braziers on either side.
Do we have any clue what the hell this god's about?
You can see a lot of imagery. The main symbol is the cat. You might see some iconography for magic, healing, and protection.
Magic, healing, and protection, and this is where they executed him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not this specific building, but, you know, this is where he got taken to first.
Okay. I think Electope doesn't even bother. I think she just runs right in.
Okay.
Yeah, shortly behind, you got Briggs.
Okay.
Yes, I'm asking questions. I guess I'm the last.
You get inside. Again, there's braziers all along the sides. By a nice temple in the front, and you see a priestess kind of will come out as you enter. Greetings. You are travelers?
Electo's in front.
Electo is in front, but Zoe is stuffing her face with
salad. Oh, shit, that's me. Sorry, guys.
It's really good salad. Really good. I think Electo has the smallest amount of respect for the fact that this is a holy place. And so she doesn't draw her bow. Instead, she draws an arrow and points it at the priestess and says, where is he? They brought him here and said he was executed 2 days ago. Don't toy with me. Where is he?
Ah, you are friends of the thief. I was told that you may...
We are not friends of the thief. We are friends of the person who was brought here. Where is he?
Yes, I was also told that you would have many wild tales about his innocence. I understand. I am sorry for your loss, but it was important that he pay for the crimes that he committed.
Oh, she like grabs her and is like ready to fucking pound her face in. Like, unless somebody comes and tears Electo off this woman.
I mean, yeah, Briggs will probably stretch his hand out onto Electo's shoulder. Just with not with like excessive force, but enough to go like, hey, pull back a little bit.
I am.
Electo uncovers the robes and shit and produces the statue. He was framed. It wasn't his fault.
I understand that is part of your story.
Who is in charge here?
I am Passat. I am the Ubard of Passat. I am the giver of the Hecta. And you recognize the name as the name on the statue. You do not understand the ways of our God, but we have seen and traced the guilt of the crime. That device that you show was given to the thief in addition to his king as both a warning and as a ransom for the item that was stolen. Our reports are he threw it in the ocean. That is not the action of someone who does not know the value of what he has taken.
How do you know all this?
I had somebody deliver the device. We were praying that he would see it in his heart to return it.
Are you not aware that outsiders of your country are not familiar with your ways?
He threw it in the ocean. This is a valuable golden statue. People, why would he, even if he did not know it, he would have taken the money.
So you are going to judge this man on his righteousness based on the fact that he did not take the money, but took something that he thought was maybe wicked or intimidating, as a raising cobra can be, and threw it in the ocean, for he did not take the money. And so therefore, gold makes your rules and your righteousness.
That is not what proves his guilt.
But it does prove his...
That's something that no one has answered for us. What is his guilt?
Are you familiar with the amulet of Amun?
No, we're not. We're outsiders. How many times do we have to tell you?
The item he stole was a dark and a lion amulet of fire. It gives its owner fire powers by drawing the energy from our deceased queen, Osnat. It pulls the power from her. From our honored dead, he has been pulling power from our honored dead in order to give himself these powers.
And have you seen him do these powers?
Wonderful. So you retrieved the amulet from him when you took him into your custody then, yes?
Obviously, if he has it hidden. And I guess that is part of your story, too, that because he doesn't have it, he's totally innocent, correct?
She grabs her by her collar or wherever it is around her neck and goes, no, he doesn't have it. That witch has it. She almost killed me using it. How dare you say that we're liars, standing in front of you here today. What is her name? She looks at Briggs and Raza.
Vittoria.
Vittoria has it. Have you heard about that? Did he tell you about that? Did you even interrogate him, or did you automatically just execute him for his crimes without him justifying to you?
I should warn you, I am prepared to meet my gods if necessary. But the people of the city will not look well upon someone who murders a priestess.
So again, if gold is not your righteousness, then you're willing to die to defend your beliefs that this person who was brought to you just on some foreigner's word is sworn to be the man who stole and is taking the power from your queen. However, you do not have recovery of the amulet, so anybody else could be drawing upon that power. Besides, please do forgive. This makes less than no sense.
Yes. Exactly. What happens right now, as we are standing here talking to you and you feel that amulet happen and move, how stupid would you look if you found out that we were right and you executed an innocent man?
Follow me. She'll lead you into a kind of an alcove behind the main altar.
I will gladly follow her.
It's a little bit darker in here. And inside... You will, it's centered around a raised pool of water. Said, this is the pool of Vitero. It's a small eye-shaped, looks kind of like a bird bath, kind of eye-shaped, and in the center is a blue stone, right in the dead center. She will, this connects us to the thief. This is how Basat speaks through us and gives us the knowledge of who holds the curse of the stolen amulet.
But it does not tell you who holds the amulet.
The theft of the amulet bestows the curse upon the thief.
And please to forgive. I know I am not from your lands, but you are also not from the rest of the world. Do you understand the skeins of fate? And that there are certain witches who can manipulate such skeins of fate. That a curse may pass from one to another without the proper payment and without the proper rites. That one may manipulate one's fate into another's.
And I'm mostly saying that to see if I can get a reaction from her. If I can read anything on her face.
She does hesitate. She flinches a little bit. You are talking about the fate witches. They are the legend of... They're stories told to frighten children.
No. They are not legend. They are the stories that frighten men. And they are very, very real.
You've seen them?
I have felt their lash. Yes, I have seen them. They have seen us. And more importantly, they do not like us.
She kind of looks at each of you in turn. And you are saying that a fate witch changed the curse of the theft.
To frame him, yes.
And yes, frame. Frame is the term here. For the man you have killed is innocent. And by all the gods that exist, if you have actually killed him, a wrath will be felt.
And just stares into her eyes. Like, yeah, you might be okay with dying, but are you okay with pain?
Yeah.
You have to understand, we have had civilization before most of the world. We have rites, rituals, laws that go back to the beginning of time. If what you say is true, I am sorry, but we had to act based on the information we had. You have to understand the pain that our queen has been feeling just having this thing in the open. Some people have said that they've been able to see a spectral manifestation of her grief when this totem is used inappropriately.
A spectral manifestation of grief, you say? Would that equate to a pillar of living fire that engulfs and destroys everything that it touches? That grief is deep, and I know it.
and I will bring it down upon you, and you will know its depths for what you have taken from us. Tell us, true, where is his body, if you have truly executed him? I don't want to hear any more about how old your culture is or your magic or anything like that. You have taken my friend. Please.
You have to understand as well, that please, this way. And she starts leading you down another corridor. The depth of the crime of stealing this Hekka, it takes the power from our god. Imagine the pain that you're feeling, but on the level of a god. And takes that and rips it from them. The only way to amend this is to feed our queen that power again. Your friend has had to feed that god. And she takes you out onto a balcony that overlooks far off in the distance. You can see the great pyramids kind of lined up. And she said, the way is an old way. It requires pain. It requires suffering. She points out one of the smaller pyramid, not nowhere near as big as the great ones, but probably still 60, 80 feet tall. And has a gold top on top of it, and real thin, almost like arrow slits around the crown. And she says, there is no possible way he could have survived this long. In ancient times, it was a day and a half has been the record for somebody lasting that long. But then,
you don't know Andreas. Is that where he is?
Yes, but there is no possible... Well...
You don't know anything, do you? You are so set in your old ways that you do not know that the world continues to turn and grow and adapt. You know nothing.
Jon Snow.
We just told you who has your amulet. Her name is Victoria, and right now she is in Numa, causing havoc. Send your spies or your snakes or whoever you have on your docket to get her, because our captain has been framed. And while you do that, we're going to recover our captain from your god. Now excuse us.
She will nod. And
Lecto leaves.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Raza is moving. Let's go.
Briggs is probably already on the way.
Yep. Okay.
While she's having that conversation.
Briggs is already on the horse. Like, come on, let's go.
It is quite a way out, a ways outside of town, but you go and you, you're all on the horseback, I assume, once again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you charge, you know, you leave the city still. Middle of the night, bright full moon, it gives you plenty of light. You're heading out across the sand, you know, bursting up behind you as the horse's hooves kick it high into the air, kind of a rooster tail almost, of racing across the desert. And eventually you do get to this pyramid. Very faintly, you can hear the sound of screams coming from inside. Right. There is no entrance.
What do you... fuck!
There's no entrance. There's just this huge, you know, like probably 80-foot pyramid. There's a gold top. Up near the top, there are these very thin arrow slits.
Is it...
Briggs?
Is it a smooth... like a smooth ass pyramid, or can we actually like?
Oh no, it's smooth. Of course it is.
Of fucking course it is.
Briggs is going to spend a hero point to activate his boots, and run up to the top just to get a close look up there.
Okay, I will say this. Yeah, you can get up. You can see inside. You know, the slits are very narrow. Not some. You know, you can't fit through them. But, yeah, you can see the inside. There is a... It's hard to see, but there does seem to be a figure probably Andreas, kind of stripped and stretched into this middle, wide open space of the middle of the pyramid. And all around him is this elaborate clockwork mechanism of rotating reflectors and magnifying glasses that are catching, right now they're catching the moon's rays. By day they'd be catching the sun's rays and drawing tight magnified focuses, lines of light across his exposed flesh. Hundreds of burn lines are crisscrossing his body at this point. So it's very slowly just kind of rotating and just kind of torturing him.
at this point, Briggs is gonna kind of run around all of the this. Actually, he might run down to his friends first.
I think while Briggs was up, I want to be searching the ground for like a, you know, some pyramids had like an entryway that was 100 feet out. That was just like a hole into the ground that was looked like it was part of a separate structure, sure. But that would take you to a passage that would make you help you get in there. And so he's kind of spreading out a little bit and just trying to walk around and see if he can see anything else, any other little like obelisks or anything else that would denote an important area nearby.
Fair enough. I will just give you this though. This is not this isn't like one of the main the Great Pyramids.
Sure.
So you're not going to find anything. This the cap was placed once he was put in. The cap was put in place to entomb him in there.
Shit.
Yeah. The other thing that a little bit of meta knowledge I will give you is the country has, I don't know if you've read about the country, but it's been put under the spell that has, so it has less daylight, and that's why it's dark earlier. As a matter of fact, it probably should be daylight by now, but it's not quite daylight yet because it's still pretty dark. So the nights last longer, the days are shorter. That's why he's still alive. But mechanically, he basically has his four dramatic wounds and is just waiting for the villain to spend a danger point.
No!
Which will happen with the dawn. When the sun sunlight hits him.
We cannot let the sun hit zenith.
Is this a thing of the light is going through the arrow slits?
Correct, and being caught by the reflectors and magnifiers.
Okay. Briggs is going to run back down the pyramid, probably to the closest one since Raza was out and about. Probably closest one is Electo. Probably hop down in a, like, almost like a panic. Not necessarily full panic, but, like, he's hurrying. He's not thinking completely. Blankets, robe, anything. Give me this thing. I need a lot of cloth.
A lot of cloth. Okay, what are we doing?
I'm doing something very quickly.
Here. And she takes off her several layers of robes.
As Briggs kind of does the same with his cloak.
Browser exposing all of the burn marks, which are, you know, I wouldn't say reminiscent of what's happening to Andreas right now, but the amount of suffering is surely on par. and she's taking off the balaclava, and as Raza runs up, quick, we need all of the clothes that we can get, all of the extra threads.
This is just an excuse to get me naked again.
No, anything, seriously.
This is seriously, Raza!
He starts unwrapping his turban, which should be, you know, many, 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 whatever, yards of fabric. And, yeah, just stripping it down, and, yeah. And to
as Briggs
them all
is
up and giving them to Briggs.
Gathering as you know everything in his arms, he proceeds to probably in several trips, runs up and down the pyramid here, and when he gets to the top, he's going to take whatever cloth he has and kind of shove his hand with the cloth into these arrow slits or these slits, just in order to kind of block all of them off.
Sure.
Because it seems like, you know, I looked in and I saw all the lights focusing, so.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to cover.
Just kind of shoving.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to cover them all, but you could cover the east side will obviously protect, you know, give you several more hours of protection, so.
Yeah, just kind of stalling that time, giving us a little bit more just to figure something out.
Perfect.
While that's going on, Alecto has Epos running around the pyramid to try and find a serpent-shaped hole in where a door might be hidden if you have the correct key kind of deal.
A serpent-shaped hole. I love that. I'm going to use this statue for something.
I'm going to use it, damn it.
After getting all of those, the holes bugged up as I can, I'm going to kind of just observe this top portion, the cap portion up top here.
Okay.
Just to see if there's anything that stands out.
You might be able to see where they had rolled in a grain to lower the cap on here. But that has moved away. That's, they've taken that back to the city. That's usually, that seems to be how they deal with things.
Is there any space in between the bottom? It's probably heavy as hell.
It's heavy as hell. It's pretty tight, but yeah.
My only idea is we hook it up to a rope with Epos and us and just try to shove, but it probably won't work. Any ideas?
Kind of looks at Epos and looks back over to the hole and then goes over to Epos. Hey, couldn't you turn into smoke again and get in there?
Epos pins his ears back and looks from side to side as you're not... nobody's supposed to, you're not supposed to talk about
right,
that.
Right, right, yes, I know. We don't talk about slightly. The shoes. We don't talk about the Epos becoming not an Epos.
But Epos looks at Alecto, who is... at this point, panicking, she's digging in the sand at the base of the pyramid, trying to find an entrance, and nods and nudges you to go, hey, go tend to her. I'm gonna go do my horse thing.
Okay.
And I'd love to spend a hero point if I could for Epos to activate his Zafara ability and turn into smoke.
one quick thing before we do that. Mm. That would get Epos inside, but would he be have the dexterity and to be able to untie him and the prehensile tail and stuff? Would he need help if he did that?
Well, what would happen is he would get in there and. If I may, Andreas would be privy to the new shit as to what Epos actually is. Mm-hmm. Epos isn't a horse. Epos is the embodiment of Zafra, the god of the angel of death.
Yeah.
And so he would be a person in that instance, and he would be helping.
Gotcha. Okay.
Andreas escape. And so while the rest of us have no idea what's going on, Andreas will know the truth.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I can also argue if we do roll dice for this stuff. I have a very compact, very small friend that could also slip inside and help as well.
Ori!
Our favorite monkey friend, Ori.
Yes! Oh my god, wait, is this a spinoff series?
Now, this might be that we're just trying to find more information from the inside. I imagine there's nothing that'll help open it up, but if it's something we can, they can help Andreas to survive longer, and we can still find another way in, or something like that. Just anything that's going to help give us more time, unless there is some magical lever on the inside that raises the roof, that'd be dope. On the off chance they,
would be cool.
Secured a god in human form and wanted to give them a chance to get out. Superstitions and things.
Yeah. Well, so, what do you want to do?
I guess are we rolling dice? Is this a risk?
Tell me what your goal is. You just want to send in the animals?
We don't want Andreas to die, okay?
We don't want Andreas to die.
Okay.
We will send in the clans.
I think we're sending in the A team.
Okay.
The A team. The M team.
Then I think this is definitely going to be an action sequence. There's a lot of moving parts to dodge. There's, you know, you gotta avoid the swinging laser lights, basically.
Of course, of course. Yeah.
So,
son of a bitch.
So yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So what? As I understand it, basically you're rolling off your character sheets, correct? Is that the way we've been doing it? So
yeah.
Yep.
Give me an approach. Tell me how this is going down.
I'm thinking Ori, as the little monkey that they are, might slip in and just try to, you know, if it's able to, you know, mess up the lasers or the lights or turn the mirrors or, you know, do whatever, smear dried berries on them, like anything.
Are we giving the monkey a wrench?
Oh, yeah, we're throwing a wrench in this plan.
Right.
Probably going with something finesse.
Can I roll prowess wreck? Wrong system. Wrecks from Blades in the Dark.
Probably. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Probably finesse athletics.
Yeah.
Perfect. I like it.
Doing a little climbing, a little swinging, a little, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What about for Epos?
Well, I think if we're flavoring this how it's been flavored in the past, I think once Epos, like, disappears and turns into smoke, something's going to happen to Electo to kind of connect the two of them as this is happening. And so I'm going to be using finesse and probably athletics to dodge all of the bullshit that's in the stupid-ass little temple here, and also disable any of them as I can by, you know, sweeping my great hooves around and stomping on anything, stomping on the mirrors so that they can't reflect anymore. And basically just causing, I'm letting the horse loose in a hospital is what's happening.
That's great.
Okay.
And as Andreas and Ori, I guess Ori can find out, but Ori can't speak, so that's fine. Andreas will see that in between the image of a spectral horse is a man dressed in shadowy robes with these decaying, rotting wings on his back.
Wow.
That's like, you know, taking care of all this shit.
Okay, awesome.
And if this is connected to Electo, then I think Roz would like to spend a hero point to assist, basically knowing that, you know, magic sometimes is based on a mortal connection as well as the divine side of things. You know, thinking about how Raza thinks about, like, magic being okay. Just comforting her so that her body can continue on longer is kind of how
I like it. Sounds great.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, she'll go catatonic, say, probably glasses, and her eyes will roll back in her head. Mm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I might also spend a hero point for, you know, Ori, of course, helping Epos have the more hands-on variety, because we're both kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. So what I'm thinking is probably, you know, 5 points worth of destruction to break this stuff down. Anything that you don't break down is going to take damage to somebody. And then you're going to need a raise to free Andreas. And then get him out, because like you don't fit in, he won't fit out. So you know, we're going to need a raise to figure to describe how that happens.
I got that.
Okay.
I got that covered.
All right. So yeah, let's see some dice rolls here.
Are you there? 2 for flair, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Eagle Eyes is definitely helping.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you get like 6 bonus dice from Andrea, mm-hmm. for or from
Jesus Christ,
Raza and Ori helping.
Oh my god!
Just so you know,
I need more dice.
You
always
I
need more
think
dice.
That was possible.
Pretty sure you always need more dice.
I need more dice.
Don't you make those?
I do make those, but I.
Do we need the hop?
You make them. You give them all
them
away.
For myself.
Do you have to go and make? Do you have to make them? Do you have to go
Hold
make
on,
some?
Hold on, guys.
And...
I gotta go make six more dice.
Okay, sorry, guys. That's the end of the episode. Come back in 3 weeks when those are done clearing.
Come back next
time. No, it's not.
Come
it's
back
not,
in a week's time.
It's not. No, we're not ending.
All right.
We gotta keep going.
All right, here we go. I'm rolling these bones. Here's some foley. And oh no. In the tray, please. In the tray. That's why I have a tray.
Well, Ori got three, four, sorry, my apologies, four.
Okay.
Four, with one remainder.
Okay.
Do you want to buy it?
No. Take that.
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow.
No.
Okay, shit.
I keep forgetting to spend them, so what's the point?
No. No, I don't think I will.
I can't see the numbers.
Solid.
Ladies and gentlemen, always remember to
ink your dice.
Mm-hmm. Ink your dice, everybody. We're getting there. Hold on. A little while longer.
There's a lot of dice, so I don't blame you.
There is a lot of dice. Hey, goodest DM, amazing, lovely DM.
Oh boy.
I got two spicy dice here. Do you want them?
Nah. Not at this point.
Nah. I don't want them.
Damn.
Nah. In that case, I have 9 raises.
Damn. Okay. Let's.
So 5 of those raises off the bat are going to be used to destroy this fucking bullshit of a temple.
Oh, no. I want stories. I would tell me about it. Descriptions.
God
help
damn it.
It.
All right. All right.
This is the finale. Let's hear some.
All right. Action. All right, I guess. So the smoke slithers through the arrow slit, and it looks like what sand, like very, very fine sand, would do in the desert, just kind of drifting here and there, and it lands and floats kind of next to Andreas as he is going through hell, I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it manifests and becomes solid, and those sands become physical, and we see a person standing there, and he leans over and he says very quietly in Andreas's ear,
"It is not yet your time."
And then he disappears in a plume of smoke as he reappears in front of one of the mirrors, and then it just shatters as if it was smashed by a massive hoof. And then he disappears and reappears in front of another mirror, and again the mirror just shatters and crumbles, and again and again and again to all of the mirrors in here until there are no more. Once those are gone, Ori jumps down and begins to bite and untie the ropes and things binding Andreas. And as that is happening, the chamber starts to fill with this black-gray smoke that is swirling faster and faster and faster. And this person stands in front of Andreas as Ori is doing their things. And he looks up at the top of the pyramid. And I believe it was a raise to escape with... With the boy?
Sure.
Just
needs a good story.
And we see this pair of wings fold out from behind this person, and they are skeletal and There's pulled sinew in between places. There are feathers that are just decayed and falling off in places, and they rise and they stretch all the way out until the tips almost touch. And then they shoot and flap downwards, causing an updraft that blows the lid off the pyramid. And this black smoke billows and erupts out of it. And as this person gently picks up Ori and gently picks up Andreas off the table, they fly out of there, land in the sand in a swirl of black smoke. And when the smoke clears, it is Epos with Andreas over his back and Ori on his head.
Nice. Nice.
Stands there and snorts. And Alecto, unfortunately, is convulsing and shaking and having what the equivalent of a seizure would be. But when Epos is outside again, her eyes roll back forward and she shakes her head. Looks up at Raza, confused.
You're okay. You're okay. We're here. We're here. You're okay. Look, look. You got them out.
Is Andreas okay?
Look over there.
And we all look over and we see them.
Mm-hmm. I imagine Andreas has collapsed on the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dreaming dreams about horses are weird.
Yeah. Horses are weird.
Horses are weird.
Horses really are weird, man.
Yeah, and that's the end of my narration if you want to take it away.
Anybody else?
Not Ori, just doing monkey things.
Okay.
Ori's just doing monkey things. Celebratory monkey things.
Nice.
So question, and this probably might be more the narrator's discretion, did the top actually blow off? And if it did, was it a huge blow off, like we'd alert the city of some crazy shit? Or is it like just rocked enough that people can slide out the top and they slid out in a smoke form? Or is it still in place?
I was envisioning it going flying off.
Okay.
Bunch of smoke coming out.
So we now have a pyramid without a tip, and the tip is like buried in the dirt next to him, or in the sand next to him.
Well, this is Zoe's narration here. It could also do the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, where it just like flies up and comes back down and lands perfectly.
Oh god.
Oh fuck no! It does that. It does that.
Yes.
It's absolutely Raiders of the Lost Ark, where it flies up and then it's perfectly back in place.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Oof. Okay. That's fine. I mean, yeah, it probably would have drawn some attention from the city, but yeah.
Right?
I hope the priestess was watching. Like, fuck you, bitch.
I guarantee she was.
Yeah, so anything else specific, or are we ready to wrap it up there?
Where is Briggs at? You're probably still up on top, and Alecto is starting to recover, so I think Raza just picks her up to help get her closer to her horse, and if she chooses to step down and walk, that's great, whatever, but walks over to where the captain is, and then is going to set Alecto down, and check to see if the captain's actually alive.
Yeah, he is. He's
fingers to a pulse.
On the edge, but he's there.
Sure. Yep.
I think Alecto looks at the damage that has been done to Andreas and sees that, you know, Epos's back is like dripping with blood, and like, this isn't good. He's not gonna survive the trip back to get medical attention. And so she places her hand on his back and like leans her head up against the side of Epos so that she is close enough to Andreas to just say in a broken Newman, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean any of the things that I said, and I need you to come back, and I need you to be okay so that I can tell you that I'm so sorry. And as she's talking, her hand is glowing. It's glowing that same white glow that the smite did, but it's somehow softer. It's somehow more comforting. It's not like a blinding radiant light. It's like a warm white. And as she is talking, she starts coughing, and a little bit of blood comes out from behind her teeth,
and she heals him for 2 dramatic wounds and takes 1 dramatic wound for herself.
Nice.
Using Zafara's deathless ability.
Oof.
And then she falls backwards.
Being caught by Raza, of course.
Coating her teeth.
Yes.
Okay.
Look, BB, are you okay? Oh, no. I'm
okay.
Pulling. I have no cloth on me. Just wiping with his own hand.
Yeah, it's all stuffed in away. Actually, no. It probably flew out when the top came off.
Okay.
But yeah, we don't have any extra cloth. Okay. She just shakes her head and looks up at Raza and smiles with blood on her teeth and says, "It's fine. He'll be okay now."
Yeah, that's attractive right there.
Right? He'll be okay. He'll be okay now. Everything's gonna be okay.
Very, very slowly, dry, crusted eyes crack open, and he looks over to Electo. Starts to see some recognition kind of get there. Dry, chapped lips part. Kind of swallows a couple times. Raises a slightly shaky finger. "To be fair, this time was not my fault. I did not say goodbye."
And that's where we end that.
Love that's that. That's where we end.
Yes, great.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh boy.
Oh, mine.
Actually, that's not quite. So a little post, a very, very quick post credit sequence.
Oh yeah.
So you're heading back to the ship, and you know Andreas is getting a little bit more strength, and as you approach the ship. Camera zooms up on a really, really tight close-up of his face as you realize you're bringing him to a Vodace ship full of Sarmatian sailors.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
"Mr. Briggs, where's the Cleos?" End cut.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, no. About that.
kind of things.
A couple things we gotta like fill you in on.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think we're gonna shift over to our segment, RPG Reflection. Yeah, let's.
Oh, damn.
Here we are. That was wow. Okay.
That was some stuff.
How you guys feeling? Let's kind of just talk about Mark's story as a whole here. A lot happened. There's a lot of time in between, but we'll probably remember most of it.
Probably.
Hopefully, I threw some surprises at you.
Definitely did. Maybe a couple too many, Mark. What the fuck?
No, it was good. But, like, it was good because it was definitely, you know, we had an expectation of how certain things would work. And it's like, okay, cool. We're going to catch up to where these guys are and find them. Nope. Your cheese has moved again. And just kept us jumping, which is good.
Yeah. It led us to a very natural progression of probably how we would do things. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff there to unpack in between. We got the whole Briggs thing. We got of course, like what the hell happened to the captain the entire time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. There was the spooky. There was the sailing. There was just about everything. Zoe, any thoughts? A lot of thoughts. Too many thoughts.
So many thoughts. Yeah, head empty, many thoughts. I loved all of it, honestly. It was a good progression. It was constantly keeping me on my toes. I never knew what to expect, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I got my romance plot.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like,
nice.
Super fucking happy. Like, hell yeah. Let's go.
Nice.
Absolutely. Mark, how did we do?
good, you know, a few things. I was expecting something, but nothing, you know, you went in some couple different directions. Nothing, you know, but everything was realistic. It was very weird doing something that, while my character wasn't there, seemed so focused on my character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a little odd, but.
But it gave us the goal.
And it felt, you know, when we've done some of the rotating before and like, oh, well, my character is gone. So now I'm the DM, you know, and some of the older stuff, you can definitely feel a progression of like this felt not just like I have to do this because I'm running the game. I'm not playing it. But like it made a lot of sense. It tied into other story things. It helped add more story things as opposed to just a go find your buddy MacGuffin sort of situation.
Right. So
I thought that was very nice.
Good.
And. Yeah. The one, I believe, in the past, the one other time we've done the whole rescue thing, we did something very similar. We kind of tied it to the villain and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah,
that's a really nice way to do it where you still feel like everything's connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll be honest, I've always been a big fan of the kind of damsel in distress trope. But, of course, it doesn't have to be a damsel. And I'm not going to do anything to another character that I'm not going to do to my own character. So it was,
that's fair.
It was a lot of fun to just, there you go.
Yep.
Save the day.
Put that character in serious distress.
You know how we always say as GMs, like the worst things that you can do to a character never come from you. It comes from the player. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I'm pointing at you, Mark.
I know you never really want to traumatize your players, but traumatizing the characters, hell yeah, there you go.
Oh, hell yeah.
Especially my own. Now he just looks like a badass. Nobody survives more than a day and a half. You just survive 3 days.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but we're capital H heroes in here.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. And the country has had this thing where they have shorter days now. Yeah. Than they've ever had before, which is why he was able to survive longer than anyone else ever had.
However, part of me wants to like just stride through town and just like have people watch us and know that he was that badass and just let Andreas's like legend spread.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That Newman legend.
Yes.
Nice.
Did you expect us really to solve this death machine with all kinds of sorcery and chaos?
You know, it's funny when I initially wrote this, I kind of had that, you know, that was the finale, and I thought, and I kind of wrote it with a, okay, there it is. I have no idea what the solution is. They'll figure something out. And then as we were progressing, this, you know, Epo started getting these ghost horse powers, and I was like, yeah, that ending isn't nearly difficult enough.
I'm sorry.
Oh man.
But
yeah
that's funny.
It's great. It was fun.
Good.
We will probably do some talking off air about what we want to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running, right? I'm running things.
Yep.
It's my turn.
That would be the rotation.
Alrighty. Yeah. We'll figure something out, and we'll get a lot of these loose ends tied up. Maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We always tie up all the loose ends.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Definitely.
Thank you, Zoe, for joining us. I hope you do continue to join us for future adventures.
Oh, absolutely.
More for Alecto to do, I know.
Guys, if you thought that I was just going to take my romance plot and leave, you're fucking wrong.
No dine and dash here?
I want to see the fucking wedding episode. Let's go.
All right.
Whoa. Hey, I mean, you... You, Raza was Alecto's husband for a second there. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, he's still debating with that one. I'm saying, like, he's like, well, that's not wrong, but that's not right. But that's like, I don't know. I think, yeah. As much as I'm not sure I am ready as a player to go that direction, I think we probably will end up at some point experiencing some of Raza's family, whether back in the homeland or not, because some of my next goals are for him to maybe touch some of his potential sorcery stuff from his culture, and also kind of reconciling some of the family stuff. I think there's some stories there with him that would be it would be different than what we've seen before.
And we're so close to the Crescent Empire right now.
We are, yeah.
I mean,
and this with an old girlfriend, this with a new relationship, and other things, you know, marriage is different for him and for his culture. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things here that are easy to highlight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm here for it.
Nice.
We're all here for it.
Yes.
Everyone's here for it. Let's be
And then
honest.
We're here to see, you know, how the devil Jonah and Briggs become besties.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Hey, I hope it turns out like we're besties and not like you know, I'm on a constant struggle for the rest of my life.
Oh my God, they were roommates.
It'll be like a sitcom. It'll be nice.
Fuck off.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You left your socks in the sink again.
Ah, fucking fantastic.
Did you leave the toilet seat up, Briggs?
That's what's really happening. Now you're in trouble.
You took the last soda again. Left the cardboard crate inside.
You're a fucking heathen.
You're right. Briggs.
With that, I think we'll leave it here.
Okay. One more thing. Oh. Zoe, where do people go when they're done here?
But when you're done here listening to this wonderful adventure and you want more pirate shenanigans, if you want to swash more buckles, maybe swing some chandeliers, maybe fight a kraken, who knows? And maybe if you want more Devil Jonah, you can go over to the writer's room and you can listen to our wonderful story, which has just wrapped up its season finale. It's up, all of it. You could binge all of it. Takes 3 days to do. I did the math. And go find that. Writer's Room 7C on our Twitter, on our Instagram, Hands of the Rose Discord with a little Rose Discord emoji. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. Our producer is Anchor, so we'll throw that link in that bio, and we'll see you there. Won't you join us?
Join them. We did.
Yes.
Well, everybody, I think with that being said, we'll wrap things up and find out what adventures happen next time. So thank you, friends, for joining and playing this game. And I'll see you next week.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Be safe and well.